Time to check in with our gal, Jessie Pearson of Bar Down Beauties Podcast. She joins us here on the Lake Show, courtesy of the John Shustacola Banker Hotline. Jessie, how you been?
Good. We're getting into stressful time of year for your Minnesota Wild, but we're getting through March Madness, April something. It's April now. I don't even know what month it is. That's where we're at. Like, we're feeling good, though. We're feeling good.
The fact that last night the Minnesota Wild got a touchdown and a two-point conversion over the touchdown that the San Jose Sharks had, that just blew my mind, because I thought that the game was all but done when they were leading 7-4. But no, that wasn't good enough. It was the fact that they had to let that lead slip away and take it to overtime. That game was, in your words, probably it was drunk.
It was drunk. It was unhinged. It was not fun for somebody that has to file a story at the gun as soon as the buzzer goes off. So to have 15 goals plus wait for overtime plus all of the returns of Joel Eriksson, Kirill Kaprizov, it was a lot. Like, there was a lot going on. Plus, you've got the flower narrative. The important thing is Minnesota came out with the 2 points. A game like that would be exciting in like October or November, right? Where the points are like, whatever. This is a really fun game for the fans. Last night, that was not a fun, exciting game for Minnesota Wild to be playing with fire as much as they were. San Jose is down and out. They've only won 20 games all year. A very good future for San Jose, but it's not a team that you should be allowing to score that many goals on you and therefore not be able to put it away in regulation.
Talk about the return. Kirill the Thrill, unbelievable 2 goals and an assist.
I mean, and Joel Eriksson, 4 goals, baby. Yep. I mean, they.
I was going to get to him next.
I got to say, I just got to give both boys a little bit of love. Kirill, yeah, obviously getting that overtime winner, too. It's, you couldn't have written it up any better. They certainly made up for their lack of goal scoring the past month or two while they've been out. There was a little bit of rust, I think, and that's natural. Again, they haven't played for over a month and a half at this point. But they looked good. Now, again, they did this against a lowly San Jose team. Power play was clicking. That's where they got some of their points, too. It'll be really interesting to see how it goes against Calgary. Calgary's a heavy team. They're a hard-hitting squad. There's a little bit more concern at how do you protect those guys and still allow them to do what they do, because, again, they haven't been in that game action for so long, and you have to be sure that you can keep them healthy as well heading into playoffs. But it's good to see them back. It's good to see those smiles. 97's out there having fun. Joel Eriksson's having fun. It was good to get them back in the groove for sure.
Talk about Eriksson Ek for a second. 4 goals last night. That's just remarkable. I mean, he's doing his best Ovi impression, right? But the bottom line, it's nice to see those guys both back. But did you get a chance to hear from him post game?
Yeah, he joked that Brian Hartman was chirping him a little bit, that all three of his first goals were kind of grimy and just simple rebounds. And so that's why on his fourth goal, he had to kind of do something a little bit extra. But he's not a man of many words in general. Again, he's just happy to be back. I can't imagine how hard it was for those guys to sit out, not only not be playing and being with the guys, but watching them struggle as they did, especially on that road trip as of late, and kind of fall into this position where they are fighting for their lives to stay in the playoffs. So it's invaluable to have them both back. We know what they mean to this team, especially as they head into the playoffs, hopefully coming up here in about a week and a half.
Yeah, we're talking to Jessie Pearson from the Bar Down Beauties Podcast, joining us here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. So answer me this. Flower, rough outing. If not for that being kind of his swan song goodbye in terms of at the X, he would have got pulled, right?
Yeah, I mean, after your fourth goal. Now, I give him a little bit of grace for the fact of he had no defensive support. It was one of the worst defensive games I've seen the Minnesota Wild play, especially very uncharacteristic because the team's usually been so shut down. It's I don't know if they got so caught up with the offense returning, and so they were sagging a little bit. But and credit to San Jose, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are two very, very good young players. But for them to be walking Zach Bogosian and Brock Faber, it just kind of seemed a little ridiculous. So a little grace to Flower there. But the goals that he let in at the end of the day, very soft goals. Even he admitted he doesn't want to remember anything about the game except the anthem where his kids stood alongside of him and the overtime winner where they ended up getting the win. So unfortunate that he had that kind of showing. I mean, you did see a little vintage Marc-Andre Fleury with a glove save on Macklin Celebrini in the second period. But other than that, not the best game Marc-Andre Fleury has had. And it's unfortunate that that will probably be his final home game here with the Minnesota Wild.
Well, I'll say this. You know, the one thing that I absolutely 100% love about NHL hockey in the postseason is that of all of the professional sports, that's the one where you get more Cinderellas. And I bring this up because I know it's been a rough go here, second half of the season for the Minnesota Wild. They've had all these injuries and stuff like that, whatever, that they've had to deal with in an encounter. But when you get into the postseason, and if you get guys back healthy, you can be a team that can shock the world. You can be a surprise advancer in the postseason. You typically don't see that in the National Football League. You typically don't see that in the NBA. But in the NHL, you do get a chance to see that.
Yeah, you get the right guys getting hot at the right time. Even you go back to St. Louis, who has surged their way into that playoff conversation by winning 11 straight. And you get a right goaltender who's hot. Jake Allen a few years ago for the Blues defeating Minnesota. I mean, I think if Philip Gustafson continues to play that he is, and Joel Eriksson-Ek and Kirill Kaprizov turn it up, you get some good defense. Anything could happen. And, you know, whether it's against the Winnipeg Jets, who right now look to be the opponent for Minnesota, or the Vegas Golden Knights, who I think would be a more favorable opponent for Minnesota, it's one game at a time. You know, it's definitely one game at a time. And Minnesota has had that mentality all season long, so there's no reason to change that heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, so now we just have three more games left. You've got Calgary, you've got Vancouver, and then you've got Anaheim. Is there anything in particular that this organization needs to do in the remaining three games other than just try to win?
You need to win in Calgary. If you win in Calgary, it puts it to bed. You basically put the nail in their coffin because you have the tiebreaker as far as regulation wins go. You have more regulation wins than Calgary has, and Calgary can only get so many points to make up. They do have a game in hand, but even then I think they max out at 97 if they were to get 2 points in every game, and they didn't do that. Even last night they lost in overtime, only securing a point. So really, you win in Calgary, you control your destination, right? Like that's everything, to have that control and to take that back. And then you can talk about maybe resting guys. Vancouver was eliminated with Minnesota's win last night. Anaheim is out as well. You still go out and get the 2 points, but use that opportunity, if you secure the win in Calgary, to rest the guys and get ready for playoffs and kind of just breathe a little bit easier. But it all starts with that Calgary game, which, again, I expect to be a very good, tight game.
9 o'clock tomorrow night. I know that you're going to be all cozy and tucked into bed and just hanging out and watching some Wild hockey, correct?
Well, actually, we've got a live show down in White Bear Lake.
So it starts
at 7 o'clock. So we'll be.
Go ahead and give the promotion for it. Go ahead and let the people know.
All right, the Minnesotan, which everybody thinks is just a T-shirt shop, but it's actually got a tap room and a watch area. They're doing a whole pucks and pars kind of theme this weekend to correlate with the Frozen Four, with the Wild game, and then obviously with the Masters. A lot of fun going on downtown White Bear Lake. So we will be out there at 7 o'clock. Talking some hockey, a little bit of Wild, previewing that 9 o'clock puck drop, and then dipping into some college hockey. Might even talk a little golf. You know, why not?
It's funny. You're going to be on location doing the podcast and doing some broadcasting. Me and Chris, we're going to be on location tomorrow night too. Inbound Brewing after the Twins game.
Oh, there we go. See, it's a good night for it. It's a good night for these type of activities. I love it.
It's going to be a fun night. So I'm just hoping that we just don't screw anything up. The Twins season's just starting. I just don't want the Wild to screw anything up.
No, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's Minnesota, you know? I don't know, but I'd be more worried about the Twins doing a little bit worse. I just would like them to make it an interesting season versus a very long, terrible season. So, you never know.
I actually, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but I was watching a little bit early in the game, but do you know who won between Denver and the Frozen Four earlier? Was it Western Michigan?
Western Michigan. They're heading to double overtime.
Right now? Oh, we got to get that up on one of the televisions right now, Chris.
As far as I'm aware, but yeah, right when you called, double overtime. Zee Bouillon did get hurt a little bit. He came back and finished. He's been kind of tearing up. Alex Bump, another Minnesota kid who plays for Western Michigan, looking really good, some good battles between them. And actually, Rieger Lawrence, who is a Minnesota Wild prospect, scored the tying goal to send it into overtime. So a good NCHC battle, two teams that are familiar with each other, two teams that squared off in St. Paul a couple weeks ago for the conference title. Western Michigan came away with it. The cool storyline for Western Michigan is that this is their first ever appearance, and Penn State, who plays afterward, their first appearance, too.
So. Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, you're right. End of overtime. They're not at two goals apiece, and clearly because they're going into double overtime, Penn State and Boston University are delayed.
Yep. That'll happen. Hey, again, it's crazy. College hockey, it's a good time.
Oh, and real quickly here, we got to figure out something here this summer, okay? Forget about just the next couple weeks in the course of the NHL postseason, but we got to figure out something because we need new Avery drops. Like we got the
speech has come a long way.
You
so
said
that's
what?
Good. Her speaking has come a long way.
Oh,
so
see,
this is good.
See,
she's perfect for it.
Yeah, I mean, we got the Lake Show Baby drop, and we love playing that. But we got to get like this is her introduction. This is our introduction to voiceover work.
I mean, I think she's all for it. She certainly is not shy. She's cuddled up right now, asking, "Who is it?" Like it's for her. Like somebody's calling to talk to her. Which is not the case, right, Avery? Like, that's not the case. Uh-huh. So, that's how she rolls.
And how old is she again?
She is 3.
So I thought about Avery when I saw this Instagram video. This guy is in a store with his daughter. It's like Sephora or something, right? And the daughter is like, "I need foundation." And he's like, "What? I need foundation." And he's like, I can't remember her name. "You're 4 years old. What are you talking about? You need foundation." It was hilarious.
Yeah. No, every time she sees my nails, I've got to paint her nail. Like, I've created a monster, but I'm proud of it, too. Like, you know what? It's just so cute. It's so fun.
Until the monster's fun right now, but the monster won't be fun when she's 15.
No, exactly. Exactly. Like, and I will have only myself to blame for this. So, right, Abe?
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate the time, Jesse. Have an awesome podcast tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully.